peace where? On earth, and goodwill towards men. And in this, the angel was just talking about the core character of God, which the devil has tried to thwart and mess up. And many bought into that now. He was talking that God is, you know what goodwill means? Is a tendency to show kindness. It's a kind disposition towards somebody. It's called goodwill. A kind disposition towards mankind. And benevolence, if you can, if you want to use that word. That God's benevolence is being revealed towards mankind. That God's kindness is being revealed towards mankind. And I want us to understand that God says that he wants us to know him as a God that places premium on mercy. He says, I delight in showing what? Mercy. It's true that the natural mind doesn't work that way. To the natural mind, mercy is a foolish disposition. Because the natural mind will rather want vengeance. Because to the natural mind, vengeance is justice. So when you talk about divine mercy, the natural mind is thrown into confusion. Because to him, it's foolishness. It's, how can you talk of mercy and forgiveness? They will go and be committing sin. That's the carnal mind. That's the human reason. Because we're wicked by nature. To us, vengeance is what solves the problem. But God says, I'm not like you. Can I hear amen? He said, I'm not a man. I'm not a man. I don't think like you either. And I have a superior way of doing things. It's different from your ways. Your ways is wicked. Your ways will not forgive. Your ways will want to get a pound for a pound. And you go and they say, yes. Let them learn the lesson. Tomorrow they will not repeat that thing again. But tomorrow they will still repeat it. God says, I want you to know me, that I'm a God that shows mercy, that I love to show mercy. I am a God that delights in showing what? Mercy. Let's read it in Psalm 103 from verse 8. 103 from verse 8. Can I have time put up there? 25 minutes, 30 minutes will do for me. Please, can I have the time put up there? Psalm 103 verse 8. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is, they said here, the Lord is compassionate and what? Merciful. Slow to get angry and filled with what? Unfailing. Brethren, this is God. This is not the picture of God you get. This is not the picture of God you hear. This is not the type of God that people want to talk about. They want to talk about a God that's angry with everybody because of their sin and wants to destroy them and kill them. This doesn't fit into the narrative that is so common. But this is scripture. The Lord is, number one, what? Come on, talk. Number one, what? Compassionate. And number two, what? Merciful. And number three, what? Slow to get angry and filled with what? Unfailing love. God says, know me. Introduce me properly. You know why he dealt with Moses? He said, you didn't sanctify me before my people. You didn't sanctify me before my people. The worst thing you can do is to give a false introduction of somebody. That's what the devil endeavors to do all the time, even from many pulpits. But God is love. Can I hear amen? And in verse 10, where I'm reading Amplified version. It says, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. People don't like this, but this is God. You can't change him. Verse 11. For as heavens are high above the earth, so great are his mercy and loving kindness towards those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. So this is what this angel was alluding to. That God is demonstrating to mankind his tendency to be kind, his tendency to be loving, his tendency to be compassionate, his tendency to be benevolent. Christmas is about kindness. That's why you find the spirit of giving that pervades the whole earth. Even the heathens give. It's about kindness. It's about love. But this is about superior love that only God can show, called the love of God. So in practical terms, what the angel is saying is that the Lord Jesus has come as a love gift to the earth to bring about peace between God and man. And then there are so many other things that Jesus did that's as a result of divine love, which the angel was alluding to. So let's go to Romans 3:23 and read this in Amplified. Romans 3, verse 23. Are you streaming this? Are you streaming this? Okay, so I need to calm down and be myself. All this caging me up here doesn't work for me. This is where I belong. Praise the Lord. And I'm feeling like me. Ah, all this while I've been caged up there, I'm like a schoolmaster. Forget about that. So Romans 3:23. Since all have sinned and fallen short of the honor and glory which God bestows and receives. All have sinned. How many? All. Includes me? Includes who else? You. Since we have all sinned, all of us, verse 24, all are now justified and made upright and in right standing with God freely. A guilty man in court cannot free himself. A man that is guilty in court cannot stand up and say to the judge, "Hey, judge, I am now free." You can't. There has to be the judge. And God is the judge of all earth. And God says, "I want to set you what? Free. On account of what my son has done for you." He said, "Why are you doing that?" "I am a God that shows mercy. I delight in showing what? Mercy. Case closed, period. This is who I am." And so he says, "All are justified and made upright and in right standing with God freely." And great, how do you pronounce that word? Let me see. Freely and what? Gratitude. Now we have problem. A man, we are stuck. This word is an issue today. How do you pronounce it? Gratuitously. What does it mean? To be gracious. What does being gracious mean? To give you what you don't merit. To give you what you don't merit. Say that I'm gracious. And it's by his grace he's doing all of this. His unmerited favor and mercy. Remember what the angel was saying. Goodwill towards what? Mankind. That God's tendency to be loving is being unleashed through this gift that has come to mankind. That mankind is going to get what mankind doesn't deserve at all. And so in verse 24, all are justified and made upright and in right standing with God freely and, let's pronounce that word, gratuitously by his grace, his unmerited favor, and what again? Through the redemption which is provided in the gift of Christmas. The gift of Christmas. That's what the angel was alluding to. That, wow, that this is now peace on earth. that God is showing benevolence to mankind, and in details, this is what that benevolence is making available to us, that through this gift of God, through this Jesus Christ, redemption is made available. Do you know in the American thinking, they say, once a felon, always what? A felon. You haven't heard it before? Once a felon, always. That's why when you commit felony and you finish your prison term, they still watch you because they believe there's a repeat possibility. They say once you are a felonious person, once you commit felony, that the possibility of repeat is right there. So they say it, once a felon, always what? A felon. That's why you can't vote. That's crime you commit, you won't vote again. Citizen or not, you won't vote again. They take the right to vote from you. Because they say you have tendency to be evil. And so what they're saying is, man cannot be redeemed. That's what that a dogma means. That mankind is irredeemable. And then, you know, there's some religion, I don't want to call that religion. They believe that anybody that's not in there, we that are in the Western world, that we can't be redeemed. That we are evil, all of us. I don't want to call it religion, but that's their dogma. They say that we are all beyond what? Redemption. And that's why we can be mass killed, massacred. It doesn't matter. But in the dogma of Christ, redemption is available and is possible. Can I hear amen? God is saying, I will redeem you and change your inside and make you something different. Only God can do that. The Americans can't, but God can. Amen? Now, in verse 25, whom God put forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and propitiation by his blood, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation, you see, peace on earth, reconciliation, to be received through faith. To be received through faith. This was to show God's righteousness because of his divine forbearance. What is forbearance? Ability to forgive. Ability to what? Forgive and to look over stuff. Divine forbearance he had passed over and ignored former sins without punishment. Somebody shout hallelujah. Verse 26. It was to demonstrate and prove at the present time in the now season that he, God himself, is righteous. And he that he justifies and accepts as righteous him who has through faith a who? The gift of Christmas. If you remove that gift of Christmas, none of this will be available. None of it. There's no way you can get it. See what the angel was saying? That's why in heaven there was party. Because what was impossible has become possible. And through that gift of Christmas. So Jesus is just God's love gift to the world. And this gift, the world has never earned it. The world has never merited it. The world will never merit it. It's always a gift of love. For God so loved the world that he gave. The reason behind that giving is this God's tendency to show love, which human brain cannot articulate, cannot understand. It is love beyond human understanding. This man that wrote about grace, God showed him a revelation of divine love. He broke down. He started to write it. Amazing grace. You don't sing that song unless God opens your eyes into his love. The man that mentored me, he said, if the love of God has never baffled you, you don't know it. If it has never what? It will shock you. It's cultural shock. The divine culture bringing your wicked human culture. It's cultural shock. If I've not shocked you, you've never seen it. You've never seen it at all. One time I was going home from our church in Lagos, just on the street. all of a sudden, I felt like hugging everybody. I didn't know them. I couldn't be. I just wanted to hug everybody. They looked so awesome to me. I was being restrained. All I wanted to was to hug them and tell them I loved them. Everybody, I didn't know whether they were black, white, sinner or not. And the thing was happening to me for a long time. And after that, the Lord said to me, he said, you know, I want to hug everybody, I too. I want to hug what? Everybody too. Leper, clean, I want to hug everybody. I love everybody, and I want them to come to redemption. I'm not avoiding them. Praise the Lord. But you know, we avoid people, even in the church. We avoid people even in the church. When we talk about being like Jesus, it's about living the life of love. It's about loving like God loves, having that tender heart of God. Romans 5:8. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death. This is message. Sacrificial death while we were of no use whatsoever to him. While we were of no use whatsoever to him. While we were of no use whatsoever to him. Can you put that in New Living Translation or New King James Version, please? But God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were still what? Christ what? You know, when Jesus was talking about this death, when he's talking to his disciples about his love for mankind, he said, I'm not going to die for you because my Father is forcing me. He says, I'm doing this because I love you. And I'm laying down my life just as an act of love. He said, no greater love has any man than this, that a man should lay down what? He said, what I'm doing is not my Father. Is not. He said, I'm not compelled by my Father to do this. It's the same spirit of my Father in me. Same love he has, I have for him. So don't think that my Father brought me here and forcing me. And he said, this is why my Father loves me, because I willingly do this. That's why I keep saying it. You cannot be forced into pleasing God. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. 10 commandments will never bring you into a willingness to love God. You can't offer God an unwilling sacrifice. He won't take it. God is not Satan that forces people. Everything we offer God must be an act of love, willingness. Can I hear amen, church? Amen. It's not forced because we are going to hell. It's because the same spirit in Christ is now at work in our heart. So that we too can say, I am not being forced by my Father. I am laying down my life also. Like Jesus, what? Laid down his life. And so when Jesus was talking about it, this thing, he said, do you know? He said, for a good man, somebody might perhaps die for a good man. But for your enemy, no. Praise the Lord. For a good man, he said, perhaps, yes. But for an evil man. So that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm not dying for you because you love me. I'm dying for you because I love you. Can I hear amen, church? So that's why the angel was so excited. He said, God's goodwill has come to earth. It's come to earth. These are enemies of God in their heart. And God is reconciling them to him by this gift he gave. I want you to think, when people have hurt you, how many times have you tried to go and reconcile at your own expense? None. None. You will sit there and be waiting for them to what? Come and bow at your feet. Even when they come, you won't even forgive. But then I want to tell us the sincere truth here. We should understand Christianity. It's not about religious you know, outward show of worship. No. 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 The Bible says if you don't love, everything you are doing is what? Useless. And he who does not love does not know God at all. So you don't know God because, you know, you pray 20 hours. Jesus said, if you, the identity that you are behaving like me, that you are my disciple, is that you're beginning to love like I loved you. I died for you. You were my enemy. You didn't love me. You were in sin. You were in adultery. You were in abortion. You were, and still, I gave my life willingly for you. But we sit up here and, Pastor, if you know what they did to me, what spirit is that? It's not Jesus. It's the devil's spirit. It's not the love of God. You haven't found Christmas yet. Your Christmas is still rice and stew. You haven't found what I was talking at the beginning, the manna that came from heaven. When you find this love, that language will look dirty to you. You can't even afford to say things like that. All you want is to go and embrace. And they hurt you again. But you go again. Will they hurt you again? Of course. Because they're not the ones. There's a spirit doing that to you. It's your enemy, the enemy of your soul. He wants to corrupt your soul. He wants to plant bitterness there. He wants to convert you to be like him. You don't know it. He wants you to think like him, behave like him. He wants you to be his disciple. Do his will. He wants to control your mind. It's called the devil. But when you know that, you go back and say, devil, I fight you with goodness. We have a weapon called love. It doesn't fail. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
It has never what? Failed. We never fail. Why? It's God at work. Doesn't fail. It looks foolish. The human mind, stupid. If you tell anybody, say, look, I'm a Christian too, but I'm telling you, I won't tolerate that. Let me tell you right now. If they do that to me, I'll teach them a lesson. You see, again, that's the devil talking to you. Trying to convert you to have his mindset. And do you know where it's leading you? Destroying your soul. While you are in that frame of mind, you cut yourself off from fellowship with God. Effectively. Because while God is light, you are dwelling in darkness. You cut yourself off from God, cut yourself off from the blessings of God, cut yourself off from all of that, and you're wondering why this is happening. Because you played yourself into the home of Satan. He's taking over your life, controlling you. You feel justified. Because your flesh will be satisfied. The flesh will profit you. Nothing. Your human reasoning will be okay. But that's death you're walking in. You haven't understood this. It takes divine wisdom to outwit the devil. But it will, your flesh will cry. Oh, your flesh will what? Cry and say, don't do this to me. He can't do me like this. He said, who are you? You have been crucified longest time. There is one that is now sitting there. His name is Jesus. And I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. I have decided. Oh, no turning back. That is what following Jesus means. That's what it is. And while you are at it now, you find that it will also be difficult for you to commit adultery. Because that love restrains you from hurting God. You love God so much, you don't want to hurt God. Yeah. I always think, I say, Lord, you know, I don't want to hurt you. Even coming late to church, it's not because of timing. I think about him. The Lord, it's not good for you. not good for you. It doesn't honor you at all. You see, you have to grow spiritually. Because you see, God uses your spirit. The devil uses your flesh. And the devil tries to play on your emotions. That's how to know. The Bible talks about growing, being matured, so you can discern good and bad. That's what I'm telling you. This kind of discerning good and bad will come when you are spiritually matured. So you see, when people do things, you don't see that human beings see it. God shows you exactly what is what going on. And then what you show is compassion. It's mercy. It's mercy. And you win the battle. You know, one day they'll come to you and say, you know what? I'm sorry about this. And not only am I sorry, I want to follow you. Have you heard the story like that before? Huh? Have you heard it? If you heard it, let me see your hand up. Yeah. Didn't you hear it from the men's fellowship? Our brother, Dr. What's his name? They were hurting him. He kept loving them. And one day the young man came to him and said, there's something you have I want. You want to win people to Christ. It's not only by tracts. This is one powerful way to break through that darkness and shame the devil. And then when you love people and pray for them, then your prayer becomes very what? Effective for them. But when you hate them, you are out of commission. And many of you that are politically minded, I've been warning you people, stop letting the devil sow bitterness in your heart. It will destroy your life. I'm telling you the truth. Bitterness is bitterness. Resentment is resentment. I don't care whether it's political or whatever. I don't care. But that spirit is a lying spirit. He's so diabolical, very cunning. He will use what you think doesn't mean anything to hook your emotions. Take it over. So, when somebody gives you a gift, and you don't receive it, how does the person feel? Somebody gives you a gift, precious gift, costly gift, and you treat it with contempt. If it's you that is giving that, then how will you feel? You think I have something better, I don't need this thing you're giving. How will you feel? And that person knows that what you have chosen will destroy you, that this is the one that will save you. How will you feel? You know, we talk about glorifying God, honoring God. The primary way to do this is to honor his gift that he gave you. It's the primary way to do that. That's why without faith you can't please God. Because you have to have faith in Christ to please Jesus, to please God. He gives you gift of Christmas. And then somebody gives you gift and you are misusing it, abusing it. How will you feel? And then people are running away from him because of you. How do you feel? Bow down your head and let's think. I want you to think.